From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is a time of hope.
God visits the earth and waters it. God waters the earth, softening it with showers.
And blessing the earth.
You crown the year with your goodness. Along with the hills, the meadows, and the valleys. Sunday after the Pentecost. Loving God, you created life in us and all around us. Open us to receive your gifts of your world and your word, that we may be not just hearers of the word, but doers also. Amen. Gathered into the presence of God, let us confess our sin. Gracious God, we acknowledge that we too often take for granted that your gifts to us, our lives, this world, and your word to us. When we receive your word, may we nurture it so that it grows roots within us. May we not be distracted by the lure of wealth or the cares of the world. Let us be good soil, receiving your word, understanding it, and acting upon it. Amen. We claim what the Apostle Paul teaches. The Spirit of God dwells in you. You are forgiven and free. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Our children's time is led by Joanne Cantrell.
Good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. Oh, that's better. That's better. Have you all been out playing this week? Yeah, but it's been hot, hadn't it? Just think if we had sowed a garden this week. What if we put seeds in the ground this week? What would have happened? They would sprout, you think? With all the heat? Well, we watered it. Yeah, we got rain, didn't we? Quite a bit. And we could have watered it. And it would have fell in good, if we put it in good dirt, maybe they would sprout. But what if we threw them out here on the road? You don't think they'd grow? No, they wouldn't, would they? What if we took them out here and threw them in a thorn patch? Or blackberry briars? If we put them in there, would they grow? They might. Some weeds do, don't they? Yeah, they grow in the blackberries. What if we put it in, tilled it up, put it in real good soil, and packed it down, and watered it, and took really good care of it? Would they grow?
Yes.
Yeah, they would, wouldn't they? Well, you know what? We're kind of like that. If we're happy, and we hear things about Jesus, and they tell us things about Jesus, it gets in our heart, and it starts to grow, doesn't it? Makes it feel good, sprouts out. But if we're mad, and we run around with a bad face all the time, and we don't look happy, what kind of good things could grow in our heart then? Could we grow anything good then?
No.
No. Have you met that person that looks grumpy all the time? Grump, 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 grump. No? You haven't met one? Well, good. I'm glad you haven't met them, because they're not nice. They're grumpy. Max, he wakes up happy every morning. It's so fun to see him. So what we want to do is be the ones who plant the good seeds, right? We want to tell people about Jesus and everything Jesus can do for us and how he can make us so happy. And we can get through life being happy and growing strong and tall and happy and with Jesus. Okay? So let's bow our heads. Dear Jesus, we thank you for planting those seeds of happiness and love in our hearts and helping us as we go through life to help plant those seeds in other people's lives. Let us be sowers of happiness and love like you are, Jesus. Amen.
Our special music, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, is by Trenton Keesling. Testament lesson is presented by Susan Berger.
Our first lesson today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 10 through 13. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, my word won't, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign which will not ever be destroyed.
Presenting the gospel lesson and his sermon, Be Ready for the Harvest, is our interim pastor, Reverend Gene Maul.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, which is the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And a great crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat there, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. And other seeds fell on the rocky ground, and when they had not much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, and yet he has no root in himself but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is he who hears the word, but cares of the world and delights of riches, choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In many communities, there's some kind of a ministry center. And here in Monito County, we have the Christian Ministry Center, or we got the Central Missouri Community Action Agency, or we even have the Ministerial Alliance, or you have buddy pack programs at the schools and things like that. In many of the communities that I have been a part of, we had a similar kind of center, and I can think of one called the Hope Center that reached out to hundreds of people each month with food and clothing and shelter and help in many different situations of life. Some that were reaching the end of their lives, end of their ropes, we could say, and nowhere to turn. And somehow the center helped to give them hope when it seemed hopeless. Suddenly, there may be a spark of new life with this hope that's given. The readings for today also speak of hope. There is new life to people who needed the message of hope. In that reading from Isaiah, here they were dealing with the disheartened people who were in exile in Babylon, carried away from their homeland and stuck there for 50 years. And Isaiah was wishing to help build hope in their lives again. So that is a good lead-in to the gospel. You know, when you come to some musical concert, there's usually a pre-group that starts playing and get you ready for the one that is to follow. And I think Isaiah is doing that for our gospel today. Think of Isaiah chapter 55 here as a giant theological travel poster. If you go into a travel agency today, you're going to see some very attractive posters around because they are trying to get you acquainted and lure you into going to some wonderful places. The Alaska, Europe, Rockies, Caribbean, they all beckon us. There's always new excitement that can wait. And you come to these spots for the time of your life. Well, here Isaiah also uses the word come. Indeed, the chapter begins, "Come, everyone who is thirsty, here is water. Come, you who have no money, buy grain and eat. Come, buy wine and milk. It will cost you nothing. And you will enjoy the best food of all." So says Isaiah. Well, here is hope. Good news. And in the shifts of international powers that happened at that time, it made it possible for these Hebrews in Babylon to return again to their homeland. But this was no vacation jaunt. It was rather a new exodus, home again. And it was evident that God's hand had a part in it. It would be like that Berlin Wall coming crashing down and freedom returning. Or we could say even today, finding peace in the Middle East or Africa or other troubled spots when it seems so troublesome indeed. There is hope and new life, like a renewal of the promises of God. Here again from Isaiah that was read, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and return not thither, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, and it shall not return to me empty." There's presence, there's purpose, there's power, and they're all sort of rolled together here. They come from God. It brings about activity as God wills for his people. Growth happens in their lives. In time, these words had deeper meaning in Jesus Christ, for he indeed was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, and it came down to us. And he was activated here on earth for a divine purpose, and that is for our forgiveness. And then he returned again to his heavenly Father. A finale is the last movement of a musical composition where all comes together like cannons and bells of the 1812 overture. But here Christ is a finale, a completion of all of the commands and promises of these prophets. The seed of the word always gives a harvest. All this provides a background for the gospel. It's the parable of the sower. And we heard some of that in the children's message this morning, very nicely put. And it really begins with a farm story, and this is really a farming kind of community, and it should fit right well. There was the sower, there were seeds, there was soil. Three ingredients you sort of need here. And there was to have a harvest. The seeds were planted. But the seeds went everywhere. On the path, on the rocks, on the thorns, and on the good soil. It sort of reminds me, again, of my days up on the dairy farm in Wisconsin. We raised a lot of oats for the cattle. And we didn't have one of those drills that puts the seeds in the good ground entirely. We had a broadcast seeder. And I don't know if you can picture this, but it was the old wagon box. I think used to be pulled by horses, but we did with a tractor. And on the back was this bin, and then this little seeder that would go around like that. Maybe you have a little lawn seeder that does that. And someone would be back there, keep filling the hopper with your seed oats, and it would scatter, but when you were on the side, I mean, this seed went in the rocks and the thorns on the side just as well as on the ground. That's what I remember from my days on the farm. But it was only the good soil that would bring much hope, where those seeds could find moisture, where they could grow. The parable then is explained. It seems like these disciples were even just a little dense, you know. What is Jesus talking about, these different kinds of soil and these seeds? What does he really mean here? You see, Jesus was the good seed, and the hearers now are the soil. And you look at the first three kinds, and there's all sorts of problems with having a harvest, as you can imagine. Even a simple gardener can figure that out. I mean, there's the path. The people there do not understand. Evil comes and snatches them. There's no depth there. Then there are the rocks. And well, there might be a little soil in between, and they grow for a while. And all of a sudden, they easily fall away when that sun comes up. Then there are the thorns. And it says there can be cares of the world, the lures of wealth, and many things that might take priority in their lives rather than raising a harvest. But the fourth one, bingo, there it was, a harvest, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, makes no difference, they were all great. What a harvest. In those days, it would be the talk of the land. Even in my days in the farm, you know, 100 bushel of oats was really pretty good, even corn. I guess nowadays it's more than that. They like to have bigger crops than that. But then it was unheard of. Now, this gospel is sometimes used as a club over the congregation. I mean, would I be able to come back if I would look out at you and say, you're just out a bunch of rocks? Or over here, you look awfully thorny over here. You know, I could just pack up right now, probably, and be on my way. But remember, I said these are words of hope. He's speaking to the disciples and the followers. And all of these followers were starting to feel the heat of the authorities who disagreed with Jesus. Our readings from Matthew sort of skipped over chapter 12, but that's where it was getting turned up a notch. And Jesus retreated, and he got in the boat. And they all followed, and he sat on the beach there and listened to him. That was quite a pulpit, wasn't it? To get on that boat and talk, but there he could look out and see them. See, he tried to help them see that in the kingdom, God's good seed will grow, but you never know where. It may be just among the disciples or the hearers where it is happening. But we know that it went beyond that, even beyond their expectations at times. So we say that we can expect even more to happen in your lives than what you expected. But we have to be ready for that harvest to come. Sometimes it's when we have the greatest doubts that that harvest will be there. I don't know why, but I go back to the farm. Well, I guess this is a rural example today. But I think back to this one year in particular. We like to sow our oats in the ground, you know, in April. Sometimes late oats went in May up there. And one year it was a very wet year, and April passed and May passed, and oats was not in the ground. It was too wet. I think I was in my last year of college, and I had a week between my last class and when graduation happened. And I made that 300-mile trip home, and it was the first days of June, and we hooked up the plow, and I started plowing, and my dad started sowing. And then I went back for graduation. And then later in the year, when harvest came, my dad hooked up to the combine, the pole combine at that time, and he went to this one field, and he only went 3/4 of the way around, and I was waiting in the truck to get the grain, and he stopped, and he came walking back, and I said, what's the matter? You have a problem? And he said, no. The only problem, the hopper is full. The hopper is full. He said, I've never had such a big crop of oats in this field. It wasn't to be. It was too late. Be ready. Be ready for a harvest when we least expect it. So even now with the disciples and the followers, they needed to see hope. They needed to see hearts that were ready to bear fruit. And so they went on their way. Well, we could call it a day, and we see good seed, and I could say we see good soil here, and all are happy. But maybe we ought to think about challenging ourselves a bit. If we are good soil and we have a good harvest, what are good believers supposed to produce? Well, as one person put it, more believers. So we have to ask, you know, what kind of seed are we who now is harvested and planted again? Hopefully we can produce more believers. And the seed produces seed. It's to be planted and produced again. So we ask at times, how are we doing with the seed that we are? As a congregation, do we just play it safe? Or are we ready to reach out? I found an interesting example from another pastor who wrote on his website about this. He said he had lived in a rural area in another state. And he said a farmer complained that when he wanted to buy a new tractor, most of the banks required that he put up his whole farm as collateral. The tractors cost a little bit. The same was often true when farmers went to borrow money to buy seeds and fertilizer and pesticides and herbicides and fuel necessary to put in the crop. And then he said, I experienced more faith among such farmers who are betting sometimes their whole farms, their whole lives, that there would be a crop large enough to pay back the loan and enough left over to live for a while. Maybe you can identify with that. But then he added, what about churches? Churches do borrow money at times, especially to build buildings. But he said, I have never known a congregation willing to borrow money to pay for an evangelism program, a program of spreading God's word in the neighborhood, or borrowing money for service projects among the needy. And he says, why is this? And we can only ask that question ourselves. Sometimes we have doubts about what might happen. Or we may be just too satisfied with the way things are. Or are we ready when the miracle of growth can happen? Happen either in our lives or in those around us, those we encounter in life. Remember, as a pastor of a developing congregation, things were a little tough at times when we started. We would say, if only, impatiently. I was told once that we needed 20 families in this church before we can start worship. We moved in August. We didn't have our first service until January, but in due season, the harvest came. See, it came in God's time, but we need to be ready. That's the thing. So, my friends, be that good soil. Let's see how productive we can be and live in hope. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess our faith, the Apostles' Creed, shall we rise. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into the hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one holy universal Christian church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home in this area, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.